Welcome to another inspirational message from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Are you ready for the word? Okay. Hey, today we're going to be talking about the success of Jesus. Why do we want to talk about Jesus' success? Because he lays down a pattern, a model, an example for us to follow. And if you can see how Jesus became successful, you know, he was the Son of God. He could have just, you know, blinked his eyes, you know, shazammed his ring or whatever, I don't know. He could have done the God thing, but he chose to be born of a woman, to be raised as seemingly the son of a carpenter in the city of Nazareth. He chose to come in the flesh so that he could face every temptation that we would face, every trial, every trouble, every situation, circumstance, and defeat sin in the flesh. He did not defeat sin in his godness. He defeated sin in his humanity. And it's not that he was unable to sin. He could have sinned if he'd have wanted to. It wasn't that he was unable to sin. It was that he was able not to sin. And he made those choices for me and for you. And he was successful. You know, many people would wonder, especially those standing at the cross that day, was he really successful? Did he really accomplish his goal? But what some people think is the end is not the end. You know, in fact, it was the beginning. God sees things a little different than we see them. And God is the only one who can judge success because he's the only one that knows what he created you to do. What mark do you need to hit? Where is it that your destiny will accomplish something that only you can accomplish? That's why God is so patient, so loving, so kind, so considerate. That's why God calls and uses people that me and you would never call and never use. That's why God does not kick us off of his team for some infraction or sin. Jesus, in fact, hung around with sinners. It's because God is perfect and he knows you are not. That's why he sent Jesus, so that Jesus could defeat sin in the flesh. You are not perfect, and there's only two ways that you could ever get to heaven, only two ways that you could ever stand in God's presence without burning up. Only two ways. Number one, you would have to be perfect, and you have missed that boat. The second way is to be perfected by someone else, giving you perfection. And that's what Jesus did. When he died on the cross of Calvary, he took upon himself your imperfections. He took upon himself your sin. And Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become perfected, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we have been perfected. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be changed to be like him, because we will see him as he is. You know, you do not see me as Jesus sees me. I do not see you as Jesus sees you. But people did not see Jesus as God saw him either. They did not see themselves like Jesus saw them. You know, had I been looking at the Roman soldiers nailing the feet of Jesus to the cross of Calvary, I would not have judged them worthy of his death. But he did. And his exclamation was, "Forgive them, Father." He died for the very people that crucified him. My. So I'm going to say that Jesus was successful. And for approximately 45 years now, I have been studying the life of Jesus every day. Every day for 45 years or a little more, I have been studying the life of Jesus. It has been a great privilege to have been allowed by God such time and such opportunity and such inclination to have delved into the Word of God so consistently that I have burned, engraved an image of Jesus on my mind and my heart, so that what I'm going to tell you today does not come from some surface reading or from some short time consideration. I'm telling you that Jesus was a success, and I have cataloged some critical reasons why I believe he made some choices that he made, and he left the example to us that he left. I believe he wants you to be successful. And I believe if you and I will follow some critical steps whenever we are walking through life, facing circumstances, situations, people, problems, if we will follow some critical steps, then we also will be successful. Whether or not you are successful in the eyes of the world won't matter at Judgment Day. Whether or not you are successful in your own eyes won't matter come Judgment Day. We must be successful in God's eyes, and only God can judge that. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. We are going to pick up in Matthew chapter 21 in verse 12. This is a time in the life of Jesus when Jesus was just a few days before the cross. This is the event that many of you may recognize as the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. You may remember where Jesus, just a few days prior to his crucifixion, is riding on a donkey. And he's riding down a very steep hill, down the Mount of Olives. I have literally slid down that hill. It's so steep. It's called the Donkey Trail. Now there's a portion of that trail that has some concrete, and sometimes I take groups there and we walk down that steep concrete trail, never up, but we walk down where Jesus rode the donkey. But I could take you just a little bit parallel to that and walk on some of the real ancient trail, and it's so slippery, no wonder he, you know, had riding that donkey. It is so steep and slippery. And he's going to ride it down into Jerusalem, and he's going to enter in. And while he is on his way there riding that little donkey, he is fulfilling the prophecy of the prophet Zechariah that said, "Behold, your king is coming to you lowly and riding on a donkey, the colt of a donkey." You know? And the people especially the children, were shouting his praises Hosanna, you know, Hosanna, you know, they're shouting and they're making such a noise and they're laying palm trees down in front of him and it's such a wonderful picture of them welcoming their king, welcoming their Messiah. Hosanna, save now. You know, it's out of Psalms 118. Save now, O Lord. Now we get to see salvation. Now our King is here. And all these little children are just shouting his praises. Well, standing by were some of the Pharisees, chief priests and scribes, some of the important political people. And wouldn't you know it, they were jealous. Why were they jealous? Because they were insecure. Because in their world, if someone else got praise, it meant they didn't. Have you ever met someone who's insecure that if someone says, oh, you know, you look nice today, they feel ugly because they didn't say, I look nice too, you know? And if the person beside them gets you're pretty two or three times, they can just walk, slap off because they're insecure and because they're a little jealous, and they can't even get mad, you know, and angry. Well, that is the process of the devil trying to turn jealousy and insecurity into hatred. You know, he did it right there in Jerusalem that day, and he's still trying to do it today. Don't fall prey to insecurities and jealousies, okay? Look around. If somebody says, oh, look, you know, you're doing well, then jump on that bandwagon and say, yeah, you are. Instead of saying, well, I am too. Okay? Okay, y'all get the picture. I didn't even plan to throw that in there. Okay, so here we are, verse 12. Now, Jesus has ridden this donkey down. He gets into Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind, verse 14, and the lame came to Jesus in the temple, and Jesus healed them. But when the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, hold on a second, these are wonderful things. He's healing the blind. He's straightened out the church. He's cleansed it. He's stopped the, you know, all of the things, all the worldly things going into the church and corrected the church's doctrine. And now he's healing the lame and healing the blind. And when the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did and the children crying out in the temple, even little kids were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. These chief priests and scribes were indignant. Wow. How can you go from wonderful things to being indignant that Jesus is getting the credit here? Well, verse 16. And so these leaders said to Jesus, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, you know, it was kind of an indictment. Do you hear what they're saying? Jesus said, yes. Have you never read? I mean, don't you know the Bible? Don't you know what's right? Have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? What is Jesus doing? Jesus is calling this perfect praise. Perfected praise. I mean, don't you know the Bible? Don't you know what's going on? Don't you know that the lame are being healed and the blind are seeing and children are crying out, Hosanna, and recognizing me as the King? And don't you know that this is a fulfillment of prophecy? But, you know, their jealousy, their insecurity, their hatred, having loved themselves more than they loved anything else, even more than they loved seeing the blind and the lame healed, more than seeing little children excited and praising God in the temple, more than anything else, they loved their own power. Nonetheless, Jesus did not let that stop him. He never quit helping people. Even though the wonderful things that Jesus did felt like threats, the wonderful things that Jesus was doing in public felt like threats to the establishment. Isn't that interesting? When something wonderful and something good for the people, something that would bless the people, something that would meet needs of the people, and something that would be a blessing to families, looks like a threat to the leadership. You know, while some were hearing things that made him mad, Jesus was hearing things that made him glad. There are two groups of people in the world. Those that hear something and makes them mad, and those that hear it and make them glad. Just go out in the street and start preaching Jesus. You'll find both groups come up to you. Just begin to share truth on social media. You'll find out that there are two groups. Some of them are going to hear the very same thing. It's going to make them mad. Some of them are going to hear the very same thing, and it will make them glad. The scribes heard blasphemy while Jesus heard praise. You know, God loved what he was hearing. The Pharisees hated what they heard. What was the difference? Some people were hearing with God's ears, seeing it from God's perspective. And some were hearing with the world's and seeing it from the devil's perspective. You know, Jesus wants us to see things the way that God sees them. Jesus does not want us to be conformed to this world. And if you would like to know more about not being conformed, let me point you to this past Wednesday evening's message. Okay, go online. You know, you can go on our app, or you can go to a church COTR.com or church online, and you can look at this past Wednesday evening's message. It was about the difference between being conformed and transformed, and how that can take place in your life. Jesus does not want us to be conformed to this world. He wants us to see things the way God sees it. And as I said earlier, I've studied the life of Jesus for 45 years, every day, and I've identified and cataloged critical steps Jesus took that led him to be successful in every endeavor, including the cross. And I'm here today to simply help us to be more like Christ. What can we do to be more like Christ? Well, number one, let me offer this to you. In all that I have studied about Jesus, you know, I've learned some things. Number one, Jesus never pointed his life in the wrong direction. Jesus never pointed his life in the wrong direction. When I was in the military, I had a driver's license that allowed me to drive on the flight line. Out where the B-52s that were loaded with nuclear weapons were being kept. We called those, that was the Christmas tree area. You know, out where the KC-135s that were on alert were already loaded with fuel, and in a moment's notice, they would all take off. You know, I had a license that allowed me to drive on the flight line around those planes, around the nuclear weapons. Do you know one of my test questions that I had to answer correctly? And one of the things that I could never be found doing? pointed my with my vehicle pointed toward one of those planes. They told me, do not drive towards the plane. You can't. You can't drive. You don't ever point your vehicle at a plane. You know, I could circle, I could drive around, but if you ever pointed your vehicle at the plane, you were in trouble. You don't want to drive the wrong way, and you're probably not going to hit the plane if you don't point at the plane. It's like, how do I not cut myself? Don't cut towards yourself. If you never cut towards yourself, you will never cut yourself. Hello? Jesus never pointed his life in the wrong direction. It's you know, he knew the decision that he should make, and he never stepped into the shadows. He never got off the path. He just refused to point his life in the wrong direction. He knew where he was going. If you don't know where you're going, you got a problem. You don't know which direction to go. Jesus knew where he was going. Knowing where you're going is so important. If you don't know where you're going, then that's the first question you need to ask yourself. Me, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not going to point my life in the other direction. I'm not going to walk in the shadows. I would like to walk in truth. I'd like to walk in joy. I'd like to walk in happiness. I just don't want to point my life in the wrong direction. This is what I found out from Jesus. Why was he successful? He never pointed his life in the wrong direction. He never made investments in sin. He never stepped out of the light or into the shadow of God's will for his life. And I would encourage you, never step out of the light or into a shadow of God's will for your life. Stay in the light. There's no reason walking off the path in the ditch. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. What does that mean? That means the word of God gives me the next step, and it also shows me the journey. It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There's no reason me going in the wrong direction. There's no reason me walking in a shadow of life, in a shadow of God's will. I know the will of God for my life, and one day I'm going to get up there. One day I'm going to do that. One day I'm going to, listen, there's no reason walking in the shadow. You know, what was the will of God for his life? The Word of God. What's the will of God for your life? The Word of God. The Word of God is the will of God. There's no reason walking off the Word. No reason going in a different direction. If the Word of God says forgive, guess what? There's no reason pointing your life in a different direction. If the Word of God says love, if the Word of God says give, if the Word of God, you know, says follow, if the Word that God has given you says lead, there's no reason pointing your life in the wrong direction. Number two, a second thing that I noticed about Jesus is that Jesus never let the devil talk him out of taking the next step. You know, a lot of things, people and problems will do their best to change your mind. Once you decide to live for Jesus Christ, and once you decide to do something for God, once you make a decision, people and problems will try to change your mind. Jesus never let the devil talk him out of taking the next step. When people and problems start talking loud, let me encourage you, you need to get louder, especially in your head. Whenever you've made a decision for Jesus Christ, and whenever you've made the best decision and you know what God wants you to do, people are going to start talking loud. Problems are going to start talking loud. You've got to start talking louder. You cannot let situations and circumstances talk you out of doing the will of God, because they will. I don't mean that we don't embrace the wisdom God gives us. I just mean that we don't let the devil finish our sentence. It's not rude to interrupt the devil. It's not rude to tell him to shut up. Jesus did. You know, Jesus was trying to help a man, and the devil started talking to him. And Mark 1, verse 25 says, but Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, be quiet and come out of him. You know, you need to get into a habit of interrupting the devil. Don't let the devil finish your sentence. Don't start out, well, you know, I believe God wants me to do this, but there's no reason letting the devil finish your sentence. You know, I believe God wants me to do this, and you shut up, devil, and you stay out of it. Get out of here. Because people in problems do their best to talk you out of your last best decision that God worked real hard trying to get you to make. Do you know whenever Jesus told the Pharisees, the scribes, the chief priest, whenever he said, you know, yeah, I know what they're saying. Jesus was quoting. He was quoting out of something David had written in Psalms 8. Let me read this to you, because Jesus said this. He said, yes, but have you never read that out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants that God has perfected praise? Look at the quote. This is what David wrote in Psalms 8, verse 2. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Ordained strength. Now hold on. Hold it right there. Jesus said perfected praise. David said ordained strength. Do you know where strength comes from? It comes from praise. You know? The joy of the Lord is my strength. It comes from praising the Lord. And the joy that comes from praise. If you want to shut the devil up, just start praising the Lord. When you're out there by yourself and the devil starts talking to you, just start praising the Lord and the devil will shut up. That's what David said. Jesus didn't finish this quote, but what he did, he got far enough into this verse that it shut the scribes up. It shut them up. You start quoting the word of God, the devil will run off. Look what David said. David finishes this. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger, the one that's trying to rob something from you, the one that's trying to silence you, you can silence him by praise. When this devil starts trying to talk you out of doing the will of God, just begin to praise the Lord. Don't let him finish the sentence. You just lift up a song in your head or with your mouth or just worshiping the Lord, and you look around, the devil won't be within 100 miles. He'll shut up and move on. Don't let the devil talk you out of your next step, okay? Commit to prayer and be strengthened through praise and worship. Nehemiah 8:10, by the way, is where it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Both joy and strength are connected to praise. And then number three, as I close today, learn to be still and let God be God. This is what Jesus did. You know, even before Pilate, when it came time for God to be God, Jesus, the Bible says, like a lamb led to slaughter, he opened not his mouth. He knew that someone bigger than him in that moment had a plan. God had a plan, a greater plan than he did. And he just let God be God. He just, just tell yourself, God's got this. Okay? Sometimes it's time to tell the devil to be quiet, and sometimes it's time to just let God be God. Maturity in Christ will let you know when it's time to speak up and when it's time to just be still. Sometimes there's nothing you can do but be still. And when you find yourself in those times, believe me, righting injustices is God's specialty. Sometimes it seems like there's nothing you can do about something bad that was done. But believe me when I tell you that righting injustices is his specialty and justice is his superpower. Okay? Listen, when you can't do anything, pray and praise and let God be God. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The three things we talked about, number one, never point your life in the wrong direction. If you're pointing in the wrong direction, repent, turn around. That's what it means, turn around. If you're walking away from God or you're trying to walk beside God, you're trying to keep one foot in the world and one foot in faith, stop it. Get out of the shadows. Okay? Never point your life in the wrong direction. Number two, don't let people or problems talk you out of taking the next step. And number three, learn to be still when there's nothing you can do. And just let God be God. Pray and praise and let God be God. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another encouraging word from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.